Welcome to God and Country Radio, a weekend program that discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the light of biblical theology. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. John Daniel Davison, senior editor for The Federalist, has just come out with a new book entitled Pagan America, The Decline of Christianity, and the Dark Age to Come. And since this book addresses a conservative Christian worldview concerning the current culture war, it's a good springboard off of which to address many issues. Reviewing the book will help us to understand how Christian conservatives see the issues, and it will help us to develop our own biblical understanding of the crisis. Davison graduated from the conservative think tank college, Hillsdale College, in 2004. I've benefited from many of his insights from articles he has posted on various sites. He comes from a conservative Catholic perspective, one of those Catholics who would like to return to the Latin Mass and probably replace the current Pope. Now, in his Catholicism, his evaluation of this rise of paganism and the decline of Christianity in America comes from an overall Christian morality perspective rather than a biblical exposition perspective. But that's a weakness we see in many conservative pundits. They generally defend Christian morality because they don't like the Antichrist attitudes arising in the world, but they don't know or address the biblical text, the full biblical explanation. And so they lack certain crucial insights. And as we review Davison's book, I hope to fill in some of those insights. I don't want this book review to be a criticism of the book, but rather a further elucidation of the issues Davison addresses. Now, overall, he's right on. Being more truthful about the situation than many other conservative pundits. Spoiler alert here. In the final chapter, he explains that the current trajectory toward paganism in America, in the West, is not going to be turned around in our generation. The paganism is irreversible. Quote, this is not a statement of despair, but an admission of truth. We must be an unflinching minority in the face of coming persecution. The America we know and love is over and done for. And for Davison, we're going to have to go into a century or two of a new pagan dark age before this will all be turned around. Probably after paganism destroys the world, runs its course, and people learn their lesson. I believe he's in the right ballpark, but he's not in the field just yet. Now, you may not agree with him on this evaluation, because for most conservatives, to say the battle is lost will only be a self-fulfilling prophecy. We lose by admitting defeat. But we should at least realize that more and more conservative thinkers are coming to this conclusion. Even evangelical pundits have been reluctant to admit that it's all over for America. But, that optimism is beginning to shift, which I suspect would begin to happen. So to begin with, since this book is entitled Pagan America, we should define what paganism is. The technical etymology of the word is interesting. It means in the Latin to be of the country, meaning you are a civilian, a citizen of Rome, a citizen of the world, as opposed to being part of the citizenship of Christ's kingdom. The parallel Germanic word was a heathen, meaning you're from the country, you held to the old gods of the Romans and the Germans. And notice how the early church followed the words of Jesus in describing the distinction between Christians and non-Christians. John chapter 7, verse 14. Jesus said, they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Now, of course, the word pagan today carries with it an image of a person who is non-churched, secular, atheistic, on the ideological left, with all of the associated costume and behavior. Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. In the introduction, Davison explains America was founded not just by a people with a political ideology, but a people who held to a Christian morality, a Christian worldview, a Christian doctrine of man, God, sin, law, out of which American political ideas flowed. And for America to survive, it must have a Christian people. Once Christianity fades, so too will our system of government and our human rights and our freedoms. We will become a slave empire. Really, without Christianity, slavery will return. Look at how the human rights of the most vulnerable, babies in the womb, have been overturned as Christianity has been removed from the public square. It's going to get a whole lot worse. With the disbelief and removal of a Christian worldview, all the cruelty, the violence, the totalitarianism, the human sacrifice of the ancient world will return. Modern paganism will be no less violent and oppressive than ancient paganism. Now, by the way, in this regard, Davison includes a whole chapter describing how pagan intellectuals today, university professors, work to rewrite the history of ancient paganism as the happy days. The pagan Romans, the Vikings, the Mayans are depicted as not being so bad. They really didn't perform those human sacrifices. And that is their pagan superimposed worldview on history. And that is used to support their anti-Christian ideology. Understand the game that's being played. Some other quotes from Davison. America can't retain the advantages and benefits of Christendom without the faith from which they sprang. Western civilization depends upon Christianity. Liberalism relies on a source of vitality that does not originate from it and that it cannot replenish. Well said. So on page one, we already have a huge controversy because the pagan intellectuals in our day believe America can survive and human rights can be maintained very well without Christianity. In fact, they would say the exact opposite, crediting all that is good in America, as they define it, as flowing not from Christianity, but from the secular Enlightenment. In fact, professors today will claim Christianity has actually held back the West. The society would be further along in prosperity, in science, and in a fair society, if it weren't for Christianity. And there is going to be a secular utopia coming of diversity, equity, and inclusion if we just get rid of the Christian moral oppression. And this is actually what's being taught by the pagan professors in American universities. And this is why they're constantly pointing out, wherever possible, that some American founders held slaves, because they need a basis for discrediting our Christian past, so they use the slavery issue as a wedge to discredit all Christian moral political thought. They're trying to create a narrative where pagan secular humanism is morally superior to Christianity. And this gives them justification for replacing the Constitution with Marxism. But all this should be no surprise, because this has been Satan's argument against God since the beginning. Satan has always claimed that his way of autonomy from God is better. Go ahead, eat the forbidden fruit, and your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God. And all who are within Satan's kingdom, all who have the same spirit of the Antichrist, make that same argument in new and various forms. But it's the same old argument. We can be good without God. We can be prosperous and fulfilled without Him. Now, I know you know these things. Nevertheless, it's good to be reminded. We have to constantly be keenly aware of the core issues, lest we get lost in all of the verbiage and side arguments. So what Davison goes on to state in his introduction is that what awaits us on the other side of paganism is a pagan dark age, because modern pagans will be no less violent, no less totalitarian than ancient paganism. And quote, paganism is fundamentally incompatible with the Christian faith, which does not allow for such relativism, but insists on hard definitions of truth and what is and what is not sacred and divine. Now, in this, Davison is making two points we need to appreciate. First, pluralism in a nation never works in the long term. It's fundamentally incompatible with Christianity. Now, a nation living off of the blessing, the order, the peace of Christian heritage can boast about how we can accept other ideologies and be tolerant and everything's going to be just fine and we'll all get along. But that's naive, because in practice, pluralism will not work. Evil cannot be compatible with righteousness. Second, Davison is explaining where the current sinful ideology will lead. And this is identical to the role of the Old Testament prophets. Their message, preserved in the Old Testament books, was that if you break God's law, here are the disasters that are going to fall upon you. As in the words of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 28, but it shall come about if you do not obey the Lord your God to observe to do all of his commandments and the statutes which I charge you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Now, did the people in the Old Testament believe Moses and the prophets? Of course not. They were too filled with their pride and their self-righteousness and self-centeredness to think that their autonomy from God would result in hell on earth and hell in hell. Davison then goes on in his introduction to make another relevant point, that America has been pagan for quite some time. And he quotes the writer T.S. Eliot, who during the 1940s pointed out that we're no longer a Christian society, speaking of the West. To speak of ourselves as a Christian society, we mean that we have a society which no one is penalized for the formal profession of Christianity, but we conceal from ourselves the unpleasant knowledge of the real values by which we live. And those values that Eliot was pointing to, by which we live, are pagan values, which include liberalism and tolerance, moral relativism, which is a recipe for disaster. Quote from Davison, "A negative culture lacking substance that would eventually dissolve and be replaced by a pagan culture that espouses materialism, secularism, and moral relativism as positive principles. A moral relativism results in power alone determining right, the strong subjugating the weak, the evil persecuting the righteous." So Davison's point is that the de-Christianization of America is further along than most people realize. The foundational ideological shift began at the beginning of the 20th century. And here's another point he makes in his introduction. Quote, "America without Christianity will not be the sort of place where most Americans will want to live, Christian or non-Christian alike." And this is true. Even non-Christians don't like the consequences of what they're bringing in, but for ideological reasons, they want to bring it in anyway. And this is also one of the points made by the Old Testament prophets. In the end, when you reap what you have sown, you're going to groan and you're going to be oppressed. But again, this is hardly believed, but it had to be said by the prophets of God in the past, and it has to be said by the prophets of God today. And again, I think leftist ideologues actually understand this, but they're increasingly saying, "I don't care. I don't care if America burns to the ground, as long as I can have my immorality," you know, because I believe these are bitter, envious people. These are the haters of the good. And they want to cut off their own nose despite their face. They just want to stick it to God. It's the old John Milton of Paradise Lost statement, where Satan says, I'd rather reign in hell than be a slave in heaven. Well, in reviewing this book, I could list dozens of obvious but not so obvious principles that every Christian should understand. They form the basis for the Christian worldview. And the opposite, the polar opposite, is the basis for a pagan worldview. But in conclusion, I want to give an overview of what I believe John Davison failed to include in his book, Pagan America. And this is where conservative Bible-based Christian theologians say to conservative pundits, close, but no cigar. Or in the words of Jesus, you're not far from the kingdom of God, but you ain't there yet. Mark chapter 12. And in my pointing these things out, I want you to be able to discern when you read or watch political conservative commentary. First, in this book, there's not a word about conversion and the new birth. Yes, Christianity shapes the culture, but what is it about Christianity that does this? Is Christianity simply another academic philosophy? You know, it's almost as if Christianity is being presented as merely embracing a philosophy. And if Americans just embrace a Christian worldview or a doctrine of beliefs, all will be well. However, biblically, that belief is not embraced if it's not accompanied by a radical encounter with God called conversion, or as Jesus called, the new birth. John chapter 3, unless a man is born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. Not only will he not go there, but he will not see it in the future or even in the present. This includes one's eyes being blinded to truth. One of the mistakes secular and semi-Christian conservatives make is in thinking that if we double down on teaching morality, even Christian morality, and if we push traditional or Christian legislation, the citizenship will return to morality, and that will ensure blessing and prosperity. But we need to remember that that's been tried and failed. God gave the nation of Israel his law on Mount Sinai. They saw God's miracles. They were discipled in the law of God in a special 40-year training camp in the wilderness. But even after all that, the people quickly turned away from God and from his moral law, because it was a soul problem, not a head problem. So in the New Testament book of Hebrews chapter 9, we read this radical statement, the law makes nothing perfect. Yes, you can teach people the law. You can show them the right way. You can show them the consequences of their actions, but they'll still go after their sin. Many conservative pundits, even evangelicals, talk as if we try it again, it will work this time. Yes, Moses and that generation failed, but hey, another generation given the law will be able to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps and succeed. No, it's always destined to fall because of human nature. And that's why Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, Nicodemus, you're a teacher in Israel and don't understand that the only solution is for people to be born again. See, there needs to be a supernatural conversion. And all the books bemoaning the decline of America, and I've got plenty on my shelf, won't solve the problem unless it includes a gospel invitation where people are urged to turn to Christ as their Savior, not themselves. And where people personally finally ask God to change their wicked hearts. C.S. Lewis, in his classic book, Mere Christianity, had a whole chapter on this subject entitled Nice People Are New Men, where it's not new methods we need, but new men. Mere improvement is not redemption. In a world of nice people, content in their own niceness, looking no further, turned away from God, would be just as desperately in need of salvation as a miserable world. It might even be more difficult to save. Lewis also said something interesting in regard to a talk he gave to some Royal Air Force cadets. Quote, I must add that my own work has suffered very much from the incurable intellectualism of my approach. The simple emotional appeal come to Jesus is still often successful. Or in the words of the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom didn't come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." Now, a second missing element in Davison's book is in regard to the nature of man and God's role. What many conservatives today preach is the age-old heresy of 4th century Pelagianism, a man-centered salvation. It's all up to us. When the Bible teaches, however, that we need to be more dependent upon God. Romans chapter 11, "Who has first given to God that it might be paid back to him again, because from him and through him and to him are all things." In many conservative books and pieces, there's really no explanation of how human choice really works. The third neglect in Davison's book is in regard to biblical prophecy. Here, John Davison is trying to explain the rise of paganism, the rise of the culture war, and where it's all going to lead. And there's not a word concerning what the prophetic scriptures have to say about all this. God actually explains all of this in the last book in the New Testament, the book of the Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his bondservants the things which must soon take place, and he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John." We have the information. We are in the know. And yet many writers go off in their pontifications as if God doesn't have a word to say about the subject. I mean, how can one discern the future of America and the rise of paganism without addressing God's answer? The book of the Revelation and the other prophetic texts in the New Testament. Christians know what is happening has all been prophesied to happen. We know where it's going. David speculates on another dark age and then maybe a second Christian revival in the West. Maybe Christendom 2.0. But the Bible already tells us there will be a great apostasy at the end of this age. A great rebellion against God and God's law in this world. And then comes the end. First, the world fully embraces evil under the dominion of a globalist, antichrist system. And then comes the glorious return of Christ to receive his people and judge the world. Not a word of this in Davison's book or most other conservative books. This might be too religious and too biblical for political conservative writers, so they're not going to touch it. But for those who want the full answer, there it is in the Bible. You know, a book should be entitled not "Pagan America, the Decline of Christianity and Dark Age to Come," but "Pagan America, the Return of the King and Judgment Day." So this has been a brief flyover critique of John Daniel Davison's new book, Pagan America. I'll probably address some more points coming from the book next week. You know, it's just good to set aside the particulars of life and think about these bigger ideas. Because these truths can be our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ, in whom we can find eternal life. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The extended video version of this program is at my YouTube and Rumble channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. The website for all the links is godandcountryradio.org. Just spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening. Keep close to the truth. Be in the truth. Be of the truth. And may Jesus Christ reign.